great Country Q94. It's Lori Wilde on your Thursday afternoon, and we have in studio guests today. Welcome, Jet Juergensmeyer.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Glad to be here.
We were talking off air. I know you're on a radio tour right now, going lots of places, and you were joking you were in Mason City last night.
And I was.
Half of our listeners are going to laugh at this. You kept saying, there was not a single hill around.
No, there was nothing. Looked up from my phone, came out of the trees on our way into town. I was like, man, it is flat. It is crazy how flat it gets
out
there.
Iowa lived up to expectations.
It did. It really, really did. It was my first time to Iowa. Everybody was super nice. The food was good, and it was flat and windy.
That is Iowa in a nutshell.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go.
And now you barely crossed the border. You're into Wisconsin, the land of cheese.
Yes.
So make sure you get your fill before you leave.
Oh, I will. Trust me.
So we were talking off air. You are actually born and raised in Nashville.
Yes, ma'am. Not many of us.
I was going to say, there. You know, every time I have an artist in here, you say, oh, where are you from? They go, well, Nashville. And I go, okay, I know you live in Nashville now, but
Everybody.
Where are you from?
Exactly.
And not often do you get Nashville.
Not often do you meet someone that was born downtown Nashville whose address is actively Nashville, Tennessee. That's what it says on my license, at least.
Yeah.
And so that's it's where I grew up, where I call home. Granted, I've spent a lot of time in the Midwest, in Missouri, with my dad's side of the family there. You can kind of, my accent is a little mix between Midwest and Southern, depending
you
on
don't have this
what
full
you hear.
Southern drawl.
Exactly. Depends on what words you hear me say. Sometimes, you know, being out in California for acting and stuff like that, I've had to speak very, very clearly and articulate my words and make sure I have no accent. And it hurts my
mouth. Hurts your pride a little
hurts
bit.
Hurts my pride, hurts my mouth. It gets all weird.
What do you mean I have an accent?
Yeah, I don't realize I have an accent until I go to California and I'm around people that really don't have accents. And they're like, oh my goodness, Mr. Southern's here. And I'm like, what are y'all talking about? Hold on, wait a minute. You have an accent.
Well, it's funny. I don't think we have an accent until I go to Nashville or you go to the South and you're like, oh yeah, we definitely sound very Midwestern.
Oh, absolutely. There's especially that very distinct North Midwestern accent. It's on the border of sounding a little Canadian, but it's not quite because we're still here in America. but it's on the border.
Yes.
It's close.
Yes. If you get into Minnesota, you definitely
Minnesota.
Hear it more. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, you hear it way more there. And you briefly touched on this. You've been out in California a lot, doing a lot of acting stuff. Talk about that.
Absolutely. So I started acting in Nashville when I was 4, doing commercials, music videos, things like that. And when I was 5, I started going out to LA with my parents. I got my agent I still have out there to this day, my manager that I worked with for a really, really long time, and I started acting. I always make the joke, if you name the company, I probably did something for them. Anything from Fox for their show Last Man Standing with Tim Allen and Nancy Travis. I played their grandson, Boyd, on that show for a couple of years. I was in season 3 of a show called Ozark on Netflix. I played young Marty Bird in that. I do a lot of voiceover work for Disney, Nickelodeon, Amazon, Netflix again, and you know, I started doing it so young, and I still do it to this day. I'm on the board of directors for SAG-AFTRA, our union for the office in Nashville. I'm on the board there. I think I'm the youngest board member in the country, last I checked. So
okay.
I've been doing it for a long time. You know, I've been a board member for a really long time, and coming up on 15 years of being a member of our union, which is kind of crazy to say as a 19-year-old.
I was just going to say, you're not old enough to have done anything for 15 years.
I know. I'm 19. I'll be 20 in November, and I was actually talking about this earlier today at a different radio interview in Iowa, where it was like, you know, it's always strange to be 19, though, to be able to say I've been doing something for over 5 years, much less over a decade, coming up on 15 years. And so, well, actually 15 years because I started acting when I was 4, but a member since I was 5. So, I mean, I've been doing it for a really long time, and I'm super blessed. Music's been a big part of my life. Growing up in Nashville, my parents used to own a bar restaurant down there, and I used to get on stage. And I started getting on stage there when I was 3 and just kind of fell in love with entertainment as a whole. Entertaining people, having that connection with the audience is what's really important to me. Started writing songs and I've put out 2 albums now. Good Days is going to be my new single, and it's going to be on the 3rd album, which I'm crazy to think about, and I'm so excited.
So, you know, a lot of times people are like, oh, you know, you like entertainment. Obviously, you were just talking about that. You enjoy the audience. And I feel like a lot of times the acting and music like people think that they're interchangeable,
mm-hmm.
but there's not a lot of people that can do both of them.
Well, thank you. I don't know if I'm necessarily good at both of them, but I definitely do both of them. And I always say that I don't think I would be good at either one if I didn't have the other.
Yeah.
Because
they do complement each other
100%
well.
From the live performances with music translating over to being in front of a live studio audience for a show like Last Man Standing, to the having to memorize lines since I was 4, helping me memorize song lyrics and chords and tempos and what to play here when the bridge comes in. You know, we have a common joke in Nashville. If you play on Broadway and get requested songs, the Nashville rehearsal. Someone requests a song you've maybe heard twice and never practiced, and it's, well, that's the Nashville rehearsal right on stage. And so I think, you know, having been an actor since before I could read, having to learn my lines from my parents reading them to me and me having to memorize it based off what they said and what I heard, that 100% translates over into acting or over into music from acting, you know, having to memorize lyrics and songs. So I definitely wouldn't be where I am at with either one of them if I didn't have both.
Well, and I think, you know, you talk about the entertaining part of it. There are some artists that are really, really, really good recorded. You know, you can listen to one of their songs and you're like, wow, this is really, really good. And they sound great on the radio. And you go to a show and they're just standing there. They don't ever interact. They're not kind of buzzing off the crowd. It's very stand there, play my songs. I'll sound exactly like I do in the studio. And then I'm going to walk off stage.
Exactly.
And then you see some artists and they are like, it's almost as entertaining to watch them and get that engagement that they have 100%. With the crowd. And you're like, they're an entertainer.
100%.
And that's where
there's a big difference.
There's a huge difference.
Absolutely.
And that's where I think you probably have an advantage because you've been in front of a studio audience and a sitcom. And so you can kind of feel that energy.
100%. People ask me, you know, are you an actor? Are you a musician? Are you an artist? I'm an entertainer. I do both. I answer that so frequently. So it's really funny that you say that because when I'm in front of people performing my songs, they have to believe that the story I'm telling is one that I can relate to, which is why I write my own music, is so that it's the most relatable. This entire next album, every one of the songs is something I've been through or I'm currently going through. That's how I make it the most relatable music for the audience. And so I have to be up there having a good time. I could be having the worst day ever, but if I get up on stage, that audience doesn't need to know I'm having the worst day. That audience wants to be entertained because they either paid money or they drove or they came out and now they're there and they're wanting to be entertained. And so I've seen some exemplary examples of that. Anybody from like Miranda Lambert to Cody Johnson to Ed Sheeran, just so entertaining and having such a lively personality on stage and then also sounding amazing.
Yeah.
I also, don't get me wrong, I want to sound as good as I will on the recordings. It's never going to happen.
No.
But I want to sound good.
You
want to
sound authentic.
I want to sound authentic. If I'm on stage and I'm not singing to tracks, that's something I will not do. I'm there with my band. If I'm doing a band gig or just an acoustic gig, it's just me singing into the mic. I'm going to talk to the audience. If there's a break in there, if there's a lead break or something, I might say something to the audience in the mic. They need to know that it's real and know that it's not just a rehearsed, choreographed thing, that it's just, oh, this is another gig, another show, another thing on repeat.
Yeah, and I think the best shows that you go to are the ones where, and you know, as you're on stage, you're like, you know what? This crowd wants to hear this, and I might switch up my set list, or 100%. We're going this way, or
totally.
You know, they're really loving when I'm doing this. I'm going to keep doing this.
Absolutely. If the crowd is loving my guitar player over here, one of my best friends in the world, Jack, if they're loving Jack and he's ripping a solo, I'm going to say let's play through it one more time and let him keep having fun because the crowd's loving it. If they want to hear this chorus again, if they're liking this, then I'm going to play that chorus again. We're going to break it down. I'm going to have them sing it with me. I mean, a greatest example that I've seen of that recently was just a couple months ago. I went and saw Cody Johnson at Bridgestone Arena in Nashville, a place that I have dreamed of performing at my entire life, and I'm going to keep crossing my fingers until it happens. And he always talks about veterans and first responders, super important thing that I support. And he talked about that, and the entire arena started chanting USA. He stopped the song and just sat there, while the audience chanted it and started chanting it with them. Took his cowboy hat off, started chanting it with them. And it was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. He had the lights come on in the arena while everybody did it. And then continued on from the same point in the song that he was at.
Yeah.
But literally stopped the song for that to happen. That was the coolest thing I've ever seen. And that was the most authentic because you could tell he meant and truly felt what he was saying.
Yeah. And like, you know, we were saying that's when you start getting Entertainer of the Year nominations. 100%. And that's when people are like, you know what? I will pay $200 for a ticket to go see them.
Absolutely. You know, like in a heartbeat.
In a heartbeat. And I know you have your guitar here today.
I do.
We're going to play your single, Good Days. We're going to play that a little later, but I'll let you play
ma'am.
Something now.
Absolutely. First of all, do I need to move this mic at all? Or am I
think you're good.
Awesome. So I'm going to play a song that'll be on the album. It's unreleased. This song is going to be on there, though. Actually, fun fact, this was almost the next single over top of Good Days.
Okay.
And it came down to a vote. And Good Day squeaked in by the skin of its teeth. I cannot stress that enough. It literally was down. It just sent both songs to me and my team and my parents, and we all voted on it. And Good Day squeaked in, I mean, by 2 votes. So,
oh, man.
This one's called Roots. These roots have held me down. This ground ain't ever seen the likes of you. And your wayward winds ripped them up the night that it tore through. These roots, these stones in your riverbed ain't lost their edge. They cut me to the bone. When your waters rose, now drowning, here's the only thing I know. With these stones, and now the river's rolling like you rode in, right on past the warning signs. Don't I know it, 'cause I'm broken, floating underneath the pines, to the day the flint runs dry. These hands tried holding on, but they can't keep a heart already gone. It was never meant to hurt like this. Don't know where it went wrong. And now the river's rolling like you rode in, right on past the warning signs. Don't I know it, 'cause I'm broken, floating underneath the pines, till the day the flint runs dry. And the day the flint runs dry. And now the river's rolling like you rode in, right on past the warning signs. Don't I know it, 'cause I'm broken, floating underneath the pines. The river's rolling like you rode in, right on past the warning signs. And don't I know it, 'cause I'm broken, floating underneath the pines, till the day the flint runs dry. And the day the flint runs dry. Dry. These roots have held me down. This ground ain't ever seen the likes of you. And your wayward winds ripped them up the night that it tore through.
Woo!
Thank you.
Judge Jurgensmeyer here on Q94. We will be back. In just a few minutes, I want to keep talking with you about some stuff that you've got going on. We're going to talk about Nashville. It's all coming up here on Q94.